Chapter 20, Part 1, Abandoned Study. Let us try to understand the Gnostic meaning of Chapter 20 of the Tao Te Ching. Did you feel confused when you read the words, abandoned study and your worries will cease? People who depend on intellectualism are likely to find these words either foolish or hurtful. And aren't they in conflict with the standpoint of the School of the Rosy Cross? Don't we say that one needs to possess knowledge in order to understand the Gnosis? Doesn't the Bible say, "My people are lost for lack of knowledge"? Isn't it very important to study the contents of our literature if one wants to understand the aims of the Gnosis? Perhaps you will say, "Surely pupils of all times have always received instruction, either through the spoken or written word, or through the language of the mysteries. Should one give all that up then?" How is it possible to use such ridiculous words, dating from 600 years before Christ, as if they were Gnostic wisdom? So let us examine what Lao Tzu may really have meant. Let us start by taking a familiar example. Suppose you had read all the literature of our school. Suppose that your interpretation of it was based on everything you had read in related literature over the years. And imagine that you had a good memory and had remembered clearly everything you had read to such an extent that people could say about you, "He knows it, she knows it." Would that knowledge have brought you 1 millimeter closer to a genuine possession? Is there not an enormous difference between intellectual knowledge and real possession? Are there not many people who, in their enormous craving for life, throw themselves on the literature of the school and gulp it down as fast as they can? And afterwards, have you ever observed or heard about their reactions? One chapter brought joy, the second sorrow, the third repugnance, and the next perhaps deep confusion, followed by a spark of hope and then a sense of fear, and so on. The whole gamut of psychological reactions is gone through in quick succession, and the result is one great tangle. Often the person concerned experienced so much tension and underwent such a total astral collapse, with all kinds of worries and anxieties gathering together like clouds, that the opposite was achieved to what, in his hunger, the person had expected. If you have ever observed such a psychological and emotional breakdown and understood its cause, then surely Lao Tzu's words, "For goodness sake, give up all that studying," will grip you straight from the heart. Besides psychological and moral difficulties, too much intellectual analysis can also cause other problems. The absorption of theoretical information on a purely intellectual level produces a tendency to overrate oneself and to think, "I know all that." In such a psychological state, one can crystallize, and when one tries to put these intellectual theories into practice, one can do harm to others as well. In any case, it always means that real human development is prevented. The immense pressure we experience today towards the development of the intellect stems from the conditions humankind has created for itself. Mechanization, industrialization, and the extremely complex structure of human society make study necessary for almost everyone. But has it really made people any happier, better, or wiser? Perhaps you have studied a lot in your life, or maybe you are studying still, but has it freed you from your worries? And what about the people who devise all those theories and the people who teach them to others? Has their learning freed them from their cares? They know a great deal, and because of that, people think they possess spiritual abilities. But what a mistake! What a devaluation of the real purpose of life! This situation has gone so far now that if, at this moment, people were to change course and take the advice to abandon study as a general directive, the most almighty clamor would break out. Surely we cannot let our children enter life in society without studying how it works, and without the training they need to look after themselves. So can all this really be called progress and development? Is it not true that nearly everyone is caught up in it? Almost everyone is following a road that, according to Lao Tzu, leads to perdition. That is why Lao Tzu observes in chapter 20, "Alas, the world has become a wilderness without end." A cultured person, by today's standards, is in many respects a marked man. In most cases, the grip of the nature of death has bound such people in powerful chains. So what is Lao Tzu's solution to this enormous problem, which he showed his pupils as long ago as 600 years before Christ? Well, it is not a solution that, once arrived at, brings with it new worries. It is one that, if you work at it consistently and honestly, will lead you to liberation. Could that be true? Could that really be possible? Let us think about it and see.